What's going on, guys? Hey, welcome back to another episode of the I Am Shatoria podcast. We are back. We are here doing some great things today. We're going to cover a lot of things, but today I have a special guest with me today. So I decided to step out on faith here and we're out here talking to other people. So I'm super, super excited about the person that's going to come and talk with us. Her name is Julianne Walker, and she's going to be talking about growing things. Let me tell you something. My best friend, she's all about the growing of stuff, y'all. She be out there growing these vegetables and stuff. Ain't about that life. And so I be killing stuff, y'all. I really do. I be killing stuff. But hey, it is what it is. So y'all get ready. We about to do it in. And you're going to meet this wonderful lady, y'all. We about to talk about like some growing things and how it helps with our mental health. Okay. We're going to be talking about it today, how it helps with our mental health. And we're going to get into that conversation because I think it's really dope to talk about the things that help us with our mental health. All right. So get ready, sit back, chill out, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Shatoria, season 5. Let's go. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. So as we are in season 5, I'm really excited as we're talking about things that are absolutely very near and dear to what I believe in, which is mental health. Mental health is such a huge thing. As you heard when I talked to you guys, when we came back on our welcome back episode, I talked about how I took a 2-year hiatus because of my mental health and how mental health is so important. I am really excited to have today Miss Julianne Walker, and what I'm excited about because y'all, she about to talk to us about like some gardening and stuff like that. And let me tell you, I'm really excited because my grandmother was a true gardener. Like, we ate vegetables from the garden, and to this day I have flowers in the house, like real flowers. And people say I don't want flowers because they die. I mean, we die, but that's another story. But I truly believe in the concept of gardening, even though I don't like the garden. My best friend loves the garden. And so I love it because I didn't realize how much it boosts me a little bit. So I'm super, super excited today as we have her here of the Bronzeville Growers Market. And she's going to give us her intake. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really excited. So first of all, thank you for being part of us today. You could have been anywhere else, but I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you making time and space for me today as well.
Absolutely. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the Bronzeville Growing Market. Like, what is it?
Fine. We're based in Columbus, Ohio, on the Near East Side. And it is the first African-American owned, managed farmers market in Columbus. We're 7 years old. In 2023, we're 7 years old. So we're entering our 8th season in 24. And we provide organic or as close to organic food. We provide handmade items by local entrepreneurs. We have food trucks with, food of African-Americans and the diaspora. And we have music and slam poetry contest and things like that. So it's really a holistic environment for people to come out and get their food, but also enjoy community with like minds.
I'm loving that because, first of all, I love farm markets. I actually just found a farm market the other day. I am a Georgia girl. So to be in Texas where there is no fried green tomatoes, oh my God. It's one of those things you've been like, ooh. And so my best friend, what I love is she has, no matter where she's moved, she had moved to Colorado. She, in her apartment, she literally started a garden, even at the apartment. Like, that's her thing. Yeah. And I growing up, I didn't realize how much a garden meant, like what it do. And so I remember my grandmother having like elephant ears. And I used to be really upset because she used to make us go and pull these rocks. And I'm like, what are we pulling rocks for? Like, out of cow pastures, why are we pulling rocks? And I later on realized she made her own tall flower pot with roses. And like I said, we had the vegetables. Like, I was eating vegetables like rutabagas, which I thought was disgusting. But I'm eating vegetables from the garden and even drinking well water. And so I really didn't know the significance behind that. But I won't lie, I also didn't stay sick like that either.
You see, I mean, you really, there's so many points you've raised that are relevant to what we're doing and so many others like me are also doing across the United States. And first is just the question of stigma. Is that what is it that keeps us, and I don't even say gardening, I say what keeps us from getting our hands dirty? And part of that is a mental trauma that we have inherited, again, it's kind of intergenerational, with respect to this is an inappropriate activity because our ancestors were forced to do it.
Right.
All right. So that enslavement hangover has stopped us, has prevented us from really adding value to our lives through getting our hands dirty.
Okay? Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of us don't like to, we don't even like working at restaurants, you know, flipping a burger because it's beneath us in a way.
And yet, I ask people all the time, how many times did you need a lawyer this week? How many times did you need an engineer this week? How many times did you need a doctor this week? Although that's becoming more and more. But you needed a farmer 3 times a day. So how can we look down on someone who plays such an essential role in our lives? And when we look back, like you, I have memories of, you know, my grandmother and extended family. One or two had farms as well, you know, really serious growing spaces. And we had joy. And like you, you know, we ate what was put before us because it was grown with love. And how dare you say you aren't going to eat something that someone has invested their time and energy in? That simply wasn't an option for us, you know? And when we ate a wide variety of food, you're absolutely correct. We were healthier. And now, you know, with people eating the fast food and the prepackaged food and the red dye and then this and that, that's where I think a lot of these illnesses is really, you know, and again, you know, we're coming up, there were a couple of people who had asthma, you know, that was sort of, but these allergies, I mean, maybe one or two people had allergies, but now with the young kids, these babies, it's like every single one of them has 5, 10 allergies. And you're like, where did this come from? We think it's coming from the food. So we think it's really in our interest. And in fact, you mentioned your grandmother, and I'll make another segue, is that the elephant ears, and it's very interesting how many of our elders grew elephant ears. And it is not just, it's very interesting. It's not just because it's a beautiful plant. And for those who don't know, it's a plant that grows about 4 to 5 feet tall. And it has these big, you know, ears like an elephant. But it really, this plant is part of the taro family. It actually has an edible root. If you dig it up, that plant was essential to our sustenance as Africans. And so that's really a holdover from our history, which we haven't necessarily understood. But the elephant ear plant actually belongs to an edible, with what we call the indigenous African botanicals, and it is an edible plant. So there's so much we need to do to recover, to reaffirm that getting our hands dirty is an essential part of who we are today.
No, I definitely see value in gardening because here's the thing. One of the things that when me and you talked before, what interests me is how gardening is so important to the mental health. And so everybody has a hobby. Mine is not gardening. I'm just going to be, look here, I dang near kill anything that I get. I'm just telling you that now. No matter how much I water it, it seems to die. However, I still have a lily plant that they gave me back in July for my retirement. It is still going strong. I'm over here proud of myself, y'all. I'm about to be like, I'm about what, 6 months into it? So I'm really like, yes, I'm doing it. But you got individuals who got gifts for this. They got gifts for these plants. But what really catch me in, I stand by it, is, you know, the mental health that goes with having something fresh. around you. And I still incorporate that with Christ, because when I think about the Garden of Eden, everything was fresh. It was fresh. It was there. And I feel like being part of nature, there's nothing wrong with being part of nature. As a teacher, we was teaching on an assignment that talked about how we have come such disconnect with nature, mm-hmm. and we've intertwined ourselves with the industrial side to where we don't know how to merge the two. And right. So my students, I love them because they're brilliant, because they're like, you know, I see the tree. I know the significance of the tree, but I also know the significance of other things that we are in need of now as well. And your time frame, when we have the disappearance, unfortunately, of livestock, including trees. I mean, let's think about it. I'm in San Antonio. We're building neighborhoods left and right. We're losing a lot of our surroundings. People can't just go for a walk no more and, you know, smell the fresh air and stuff like that. If we keep this up, what is your thought process if we keep this up?
It's very simple. We only have one Earth.
Right.
There is no plan B. You know, I mean, they talk about now, you know, fighting another whatever. It's certainly not going to be in my lifetime or yours.
Right.
Okay. So if there's no plan B, why don't we take care of what we have? And what does that mean? And so there are a number of different options. And I think that, and people can find a justification for that in whatever paradigm guides their life. Okay. So you can, you know, I think people should be comfortable with understanding that, you know, as a teacher, you know that wherever you start with the class, whatever lesson you start with, that's not the end. You may have 5, 6, 10, a dozen lessons before you expect a certain level of competency within mm-hmm. that field. And it's the same thing with growing. We don't expect people to come out and understand exactly what to do. I've had young people come out talking about, I can't do this because I'll get my shoes dirty and they cost $350. Well, what were you doing with $350 shoes to start with as a high school student? And then what made you think you could wear them to a garden, you know, in the second place? But that's a disconnect in right. terms of what the garden is. So people really have no idea. So in our process, we say we really have to start and encourage people. So if you have one plant, and even though, you know, whatever it took for that one plant to survive, then maybe add a second plant of the same kind and see if you want to, because we're not forcing, but I'm saying if you want to, add a second plant. People say, oh, you know, Julia Lynn, you're so caught up in growing food, you don't care about the flowers. No, we do care about flowers. And I say, if you want to grow for passion and grow flowers, we need you, because the birds and the bees and the butterflies need pollinators. So the more flowers we have, the more we'll be able to actually have the crops pollinated.
Which
so there's a role for everybody. Okay.
Right.
So my point is, if you have a small front porch and you like collard greens, grow collard greens in a pot on your front porch and don't pay any attention to what anybody says. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you say you want the roses, grow roses. I'm not, you know, and there's a big discussion between natives and non-natives. I'm saying grow what you want that you're comfortable with. And then, you know, let's have a look at the discussion. And maybe around lesson 6 or 7, I can move you to native plants and understand why it's important to put the native plants in. But we really, you know, want to keep the door open. I know, particularly in the summer, I have visits from youth from the day camps, and you know, they it's very interesting because I almost have more trouble with the teachers than with the youth. And when you come in, you know, when you come into my growing space, number one, you're going to do something. I'm going to make sure that you really understand, you know, how to pull a plant out or cover a path or something, and understand how your contribution helps you know, feed somebody months later. But also, I make sure that people taste something. And depending on the time of year and what's actually growing, it'll be a different taste. And I've had teachers say, you know, is it safe for them to eat that? Well, why would I poison the babies? I mean, that doesn't, why would I?
Well, I mean, you know, I laugh with that question because as a mom, so here's the thing. I'm definitely a grocery shopper. I like my cabbage, my greens. I do fresh broccoli. And I laugh to the statement that you said, the teacher said, well, is it safe for them to eat? But if we really think about it, now don't get me wrong. Like I said, I like my, but I'm also a fast food eater.
Right.
Those items are coming with things in it. Cause I look here, I like my McDonald's. I'm just saying, yeah. I like my McDonald's. So I laugh at that statement of, is it safe to eat? Because like I said, my grandmother would go straight out to the garden and pull her greens or her rutabaga or her cabbage and bring it in the house and clean it down. And I'm talking about she'll have it in a sink and she'll be washing it and everything and she'll cook it. I think my biggest memory is going to a peach farm. And I love peaches. I'm a Georgia girl, so I love peaches and picking peaches. And we would have gallons, the paint gallons, full of them. And so I won't lie, that was like some peaceful excitement time because I knew when grandma went and got them peaches, I watched her and granddaddy clean them, cut them, make preserve, make pies. And I realized my grandparents was very calm. Mm-hmm. Like they were calm. So the last question I have for you, when it comes down to that, mental, again, I'm big about mental health. I'm big about mental health. How do you see mental health and gardening merging? What does it, in your opinion, because I know me, I know how, okay. How do you see it and what have you seen it do for people?
Okay, let me go back to one of the things you said and then come to mental health and add another point. And you know, you talked about earlier, you said sometimes the students, you know, look at agriculture, but they also look at industry and they want to know how can the two meet. Well, one example for me, just in terms of how do we broaden our palate? How do we begin to eat different things? Quite early, I was fairly dismissive of the food services where they send you the food for a week.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And all those blue plate and whatever. But I was always very dismissive because I was like, who can't, you know, buy their food and cook and whatever. But as I spoke with more people, I learned a number of different reasons why people should invest in those services. Okay. And for some people, they said they literally don't know how to cook. All right. And I think that's part of how, So if you invest in that in a service and it sends you exactly what you need and the instructions, it really helped. And then once people gained confidence, they stopped and then they were willing to go. And then sometimes you got sent things that you had never eaten before. But because it showed you how to prepare it, they would eat it and then they would go buy it on their own.
Yes.
Another reason is for people who want to change their dietary habits for whatever reason, it's a good way to build structure into that process. Because if that's what you're eating, and people would say, well, I'll buy things and then I'll run to the all these meetings and I don't necessarily fix the food and then waste it and I throw it out. Whereas if I get the meal service, I know I'm getting exactly that and I'm coming in and it's only going to take me a half hour and it's done. Yeah. So there's more efficiency and it's cost effective.
Yes.
And finally, you mentioned the picking peaches. And, you know, one of the things that I try to work with is just building an understanding of the African-American contributions to contemporary agriculture. And the U-Pick model was actually started by a man named Booker T. Watley. And he was really the first also to do what we call the CSA or community supported agriculture. And he did it because the farmers in the South were not being given loans by the USDA, the US Department of Agriculture and the Farm Services Agency. And the farmer needs money in January to February to get the inputs and the seeds and get the land ready to grow. Okay, so Whatley made two contributions, a pick your own, and he did it as a family activity, and he actually provided childcare. This is in the 50s and 60s. Okay. He provided childcare and had people grow. So and so this leads me now to the discussion around mental health, because Whatley understood as a model that when you have a community-based activity, you have a stronger community. You have stronger individuals, you have stronger families, and stronger social institutions. And many of this goes back again to what we had in Africa before we came here, before we were forcibly brought here. And many traditional African communities had sacred groves. Mm. And this was land that was protected. Mm-hmm. People could not grow there. They could not graze their cattle. They couldn't hunt there. They couldn't do anything but go into that grove, walk on that land, sit by that river, and be at peace. And so there was a very conscious understanding that although the land was there to provide, the land was also there to provide space to just be who you are, to have a gain a better understanding of who you are in relationship to that land and the greater universe, whatever your understanding of that is. And so we have lost that, well, we've begun to recoup that. So I work with a number of community gardens and individual gardens that grow food, but I also work with two spaces that are flowers only. I really want to reaffirm that idea that we need space where we can just relax. We need space where we can understand our relationship to nature. We need space that is not focused on production or work. And yet the U.S. corporate model, you know, denigrates that. It does away with that. And so we really have to, you know, fight against that and say, no, yes, we have the land and the land is for productivity. But in order for the land to be productive, we as people, as individuals, have to be at peace with ourselves.
So no, absolutely. I think I need to get out to where you're at because, like, I just want to see it. Like, I want to see it. Because, like I said, I am a true Southern girl. I am now really getting into the farmer market thing. And I think it's very important that we understand. So being here in Texas, they have a store called HEB and they get their products from farmers. Like they bring their products in from farmers. And I love it because I won't lie, it tastes fresh. And yes. So whenever I get vegetables, like crazy thing, I am retired military and I do not get my vegetables from the commissary at all. And so I go to HEB and I buy a lot of my vegetables. But I still got to get my green tomatoes because I'm telling y'all, I'm a Georgia girl fried green tomatoes, and that's just the thing. But I'm really excited about being able to have a better understanding, and all of my listeners have a better understanding because a lot of my listeners, they garden, they eat, they into the eating fresh. And I think when you talked about, and I literally just threw it away, when you talked about the meals coming in, that's very important, everyone, because I've done it and I am a very busy person. I'm a mom, a wife, a business owner, and a teacher. So I am very busy, but I know those meals are coming handy because I've done it. I've done the meals. The meals actually allow you to eat other stuff. Like a really good friend of mine, he's a chef. He's the reason why I eat Brussels sprouts now. I love zucchini. Let me tell you, I think zucchini are great. Asparagus, I love asparagus. So, and I love my fruits. I'm a fruit fanatic. So I do love that. So I think when I tell people the last 2 years, I've taken a hiatus from podcasting because I needed a mental health check. That point allowed me to really get with myself. That's when I really started buying the flowers for the house situation. Like I have flowers, like, and people was like, I don't like flowers because they die. But for me, it's like, okay, but we die also. And for me, I feel like floral just brings some type of peace in. And so I'm really big about my flowers. Like I'm a huge rose fanatic. I love roses. I love hydrangeas. Those are my thing. My niece, she loves sunflowers. And, you know, understanding the concept behind them and the spirituality behind a lot of it just brings me just joy. So I really thank you, first of all, for taking the time and come today and having an explanation of what it is. And if you are in Columbia, Ohio, please take a peek. I want to get out there because I want to take a peek. I love to see places that have, that host these garden things and allow people to get in and get the dirt in. And I love the fact that you're still working with teachers and students. Oh, so yeah. They have an understanding, especially us as African-Americans have an understanding like, hey, this is our roots because yes, we did pick cotton. However, it also taught us how to cook, how to clean, how to garden, how to do these things. And before we go, one of the last things that I tell my students all the time, I watch the show The Walking Dead. And the students are like, well, what they got to do with, you know, life and knowing things? Because in The Walking Dead, there's no electronic, there's no grocery store, there's no none of that. They have to know how to survive on basic skills, which is northeast, south, and west, how to garden, you know, on the body. The problem is we got so much technology that we have lost sight on kids knowing how to read a map. How to read a map. So one of the biggest things I tell my students all the time as a ELA teacher, you got to know how to be able to read, follow instructions. And as a military person, I hear people say all the time, oh my God, they're so big about the tedious things, because the tedious things, you miss a step, something can die. So if you out here gardening, you got to make sure you're following these steps, right? Because something is not going to go right when you don't. And so a lot of our kids, this generation, they are very quick, as my grandmother called it, the microwave blessing, is almost taking a meal and you put it in a microwave and you just nuking it, but it's not processed right. It has its own little process. But right. She's like, you want that home cooked meal blessing where it takes you hours to get in there and make the dough and cut up the collard greens and clean it right. And that takes a process that takes time. So a lot of our people, to those, something that you said earlier, why people don't like to get their hands dirty, because people want a quick fix. They want a quick fix to them. They want a quick fix to, let me just do this. And so I definitely like the, like you said, the meals that allows people to start with something healthy and to learn how to cook, because it gives you instructions. And I also see it as a way to help them along the way to, let me try this on my own. Let me give this a try because I've tried it. So, and like you said too, it does allow people to eat things they really wouldn't normally eat. I know, that was me. So I really appreciate, you know, you being on here today. If you guys are watching us, her contact information is here below. For all those that are listening, you should see it on our description. But yes, you have the Bronzeville Growers Market. I'm telling y'all, get out there. Do you guys like have like open hours or something?
Well, it's summer, so it's July through September, every Thursday, 3 to 6 p.m. Now, up until then, we have a number of different activities. In fact, we're starting our second Let's Cook series in January, and we've got 6 weeks of cooking classes showing people how to survive in the winter, you know, using winter produce. So we really utilize our space as much as possible to build literacy around agriculture.
My quick question before we go. So what is this? What are the winter foods? Like, tell me, like, you, because you just
squashes.
Said
squashes, are your winter greens, kale, spinach, some greens. We're in Columbus, Ohio. It's going to be 50 degrees. It was 50 degrees last week. It's supposed to be 50 degrees next week, which is highly unusual for us. For those who didn't pull their plants, the Brussels sprouts you mentioned, this is perfect weather for them. The kale, all of that, perfect weather. So there are also people who are growing in sheltered environments, high tunnels, greenhouses, and they're able to produce other foods that might be more summer oriented. But there are, but your squashes and cabbage, the kales and your beans, all of those are still very viable right now.
Okay, that's good to know, because I'm a huge cabbage fanatic. I just got to get into the squash thing. I ain't gonna lie, that's just not my thing. Not my thing. But you know, I'm all about trying things again. I'm really big about that. So that's something that I'll look into. I appreciate you on that aspect. All right.
I understand.
So I thank you so much for being with us. I definitely appreciate it. Hey, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us today. Do know that, man, that's dope information. Like, I'm really excited about what she said. You know, that's dope information that needed to be said and need to be heard. As our mental health can take a plummet because we're out here not knowing what's out there for us. So, you know, definitely take a look. Hey, remember, you can listen to us on many different apps, YouTube, where you can see me at. I'm here, along with hearing me at IamShatoriaPodbean.com, along with iHeart, Pandora, Amazon, Apple, Google, you name it. We're here. We're tracking. We're here for you. Thank you guys for joining us. You know, as I always say, we live in faith, walk in love, live in faith, and have a whole lot of faith. Like, I cannot stress that enough. So do know, and I know I said that all the way wrong, but that's okay. We're going to get it back up there. This is the first one we just here for. And know that I love you guys. And hey, we are here walking in love. Talk to you later.